Michael, we totally forgot to do something.
What's that?
All right. Every year for the past few years, we've always come up with our big predictions for the year ahead. And I don't think we did that for 2024, did we?
Right. No, you're right. We didn't. We didn't.
So are you just not feeling it this year, or what are you thinking?
Oh, man. I don't know. If I'm honest, those predictions episodes, I don't know, they always seem to do well. People are always curious about what others are predicting, what's going to happen in the world of product and tech. I don't know. It just feels
like maybe, you know, what the heck do we know is going to happen, actually?
Yeah, pretty much. I think because these predictions are just that, right? They're predictions. We have no idea what's really going to happen. So maybe the reason we didn't push for us to do an episode like that, I don't know. 2024 just seemed like such a complicated year to try to figure out.
Fair enough. A lot's happening. There are a lot of moving parts, and we don't have to force ourselves to do that this year. If we don't want to do a predictions episode, we don't have to do a predictions episode, right? But I do think we should look back on last year's predictions, though, because we did do one for 2023, and now we know how 2023 unfolded. We should go back and look. It might be fun to see how right or maybe how wrong we were on those predictions, don't you think?
Yeah. Let's do that. I like that idea.
All right. Well, let's do it then. A look back on our 2023 predictions. What went right? What went wrong? Right after we roll this intro.
Welcome to Rocketship.fm.
Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We're your hosts, Michael Sacca.
And I'm Mike Belsito.
Before we get into today's episode, though, let's show some appreciation to today's sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is and save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Okay, a look back on our 2023 predictions. That's what's in store for today. But first, as we've been doing lately, we should take a look at what's going on in the world of product and tech in the news, right, Michael?
Yeah, let's do it. What you got?
All right, well, if you haven't noticed, chances are your 401k might be doing really, really well. That's because the S&P 500 is at an all-time high, and we actually have AI to thank for that.
Really? AI?
Yes. Well, more specifically, NVIDIA, a company whose products are squarely rooted in AI computing. Shares of NVIDIA have erupted to an all-time high of over $780 by mid-morning following their earnings report, which was last week. And that increased the company's valuation by nearly $250 billion. Wow. For perspective, I mean, that brings the stock up to, it was up 275% year over year. And NVIDIA is a part of the S&P 500, and it just brought the entire index up with it to an all-time high. And other tech stocks have benefited from that too.
Wow. So NVIDIA has been on a tear lately. Not a huge surprise, really, or at least it shouldn't be. NVIDIA brought in $22 billion in sales and $14 billion in net income last quarter, which was way more than the consensus analysts estimated. I saw 265% annual revenue growth and 769% annual profit growth, which is, I don't know, kind of nuts, right? NVIDIA's nearly $250 billion jump in market capitalization was the biggest single-day valuation gain by any public company on record, according to Bloomberg.
Yeah, and this is all important to us as product people. Why? Well, if you're investing in the market, it's pretty important. But beyond that, it may be that this AI party is just getting started. Here's Dan Eaves, senior equity analyst at Wedbush on Bloomberg Tech.
And it shows this AI party, it's just getting started in terms of relative to what we're seeing in terms of peak demand. And now, I mean, Lisa talked about it, this tidal wave of spend, it's coming to the rest of tech. And in our opinion, that's going to continue to fuel this tech bull market in what I almost view as a Taylor Swift moment.
A Taylor Swift moment? Is he saying that Jensen Huang is the Taylor Swift of tech?
I don't know what he's saying other than this is definitely a big deal. And it's another big moment for AI, and this time in the public markets.
Yeah, definitely a big, big story. And let's touch base on one more news story before we move on to.
Okay, I've got one. And well, surprise, surprise, it has to do with AI. But it's a pretty big story. We just learned that Reddit scored a $60 million deal with Alphabet, the company behind Google, to make its data and content available for training Google's AI models. Reddit is planning on going public soon, and a deal like this can prove that there's money to be made beyond the ultra-competitive ad market that other social media platforms like Meta, TikTok, and others are vying for.
Yeah, I heard about this too, and we actually started to hear rumblings about the potential for a deal like this last year. Reddit said it would start to charge companies for accessing its API, which is how it distributes content.
Yeah, there was actually a user rebellion when that happened, but I think it was Reddit's way of saying, hey, we need to make money. This is a way we can make money, and it's not your data, users, it's our data.
I remember Scott Galloway talking about this nearly a year ago when Reddit CEO Steve Huffman, he alluded to the fact that deals like this would start to happen in the future. Here's Galloway on his Prof G show on YouTube from about 9 months ago.
I think it's fascinating. I think generative AI or these large language models have an obligation to figure out some sort of licensing agreement. If they're going to come in and grab the shelves of all of your data and use that to inform the product that ultimately they spit out on the other end based on a query, they technically owe you money. If a radio station plays a bunch of Madonna songs, there is a licensing group that represents most or all artists mm-hmm. that they send a check to. If they play a Madonna song 3,000 times, they have a calculation and they send the rights group $3,000 to go to Madonna. The rights group holds on to 10% of it, and they send Madonna or Warner or whoever label is $2,700. And I think that's what needs to happen here.
And now That is what's happening. There's a $60 million deal, which is a big deal, and the agreement with Alphabet is its first reported deal with a big AI company. The partnership will also give Reddit access to Vertex AI, which is Google's AI-powered service that's supposed to help companies improve their search results.
Yeah, no doubt this helps Reddit's case for their IPO, but it's an interesting development as we think about the business models around AI too.
Yeah, and it's like they say, if you're using a product and you're not paying for that product, which is the case of Reddit, chances are you are the product. At least your data is anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll take a break here, but when we're back, a look back on our 2023 predictions. What went wrong? What went right? Were any of the predictions right? We'll find out right after this short break.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And, backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. All right, so before the break, we touched on a couple of things capturing our attention from the news in recent days. But now we look back at our 2023 predictions. Can we see what went right, what went wrong? I don't know. Where should we start, Mike?
All right, well, we had four predictions in last year's predictions episode, and yeah, some of them actually seemed to be spot on, and some of them, well, we couldn't have been more wrong. But I'll start with the first prediction that we made last year, which is that we may be headed for a recession and that there would likely be plenty of layoffs in the tech world all throughout 2023.
And what would you say? Right? Wrong?
Well, okay, so technically the recession didn't happen, technically, right? Like consumer spending has continued. The unemployment rate has stayed relatively low in the grand scheme of things. Inflation has actually cooled off. So the Federal Reserve Bank has said for the time being, they are going to stop increasing interest rates. I mean, things can change, but that's how it seems for right now. So all that combined, the economy has generally stayed in a decent place, and it looks like we've achieved that soft landing that the Fed was hoping for, which means we technically haven't entered a recession, and we likely won't, at least for the time being.
But?
Well, but, I mean, anybody in the world working in tech can speak firsthand about layoffs that we continue to see now, and it's happened all throughout 2023. I mean, if you work in tech, chances are you've been affected by layoffs, whether it's your job or a colleague's job, and now you're being asked to pick up the slack and pull more than your own weight in your role.
Yeah, so what gives?
Well, that's what was asked in this CNBC segment about the recent tech layoffs. So let's cut right to this.
The start of the COVID-19 pandemic was a dire economic event, at least at first. The tech industry, though, boomed. In 2020, tech's top seven companies added $3.4 trillion in value. The Fed's emergency moves to bolster the pandemic-hit economy, like cutting interest rates to near zero, helped boost tech stocks. This move helped the tech industry to expand and went on a hiring spree as people were confined home. Amazon added the most number of employees during this golden period, peaking at 1.6 million employees in 2021.
They then cut to Jeff Shulman, a professor at the University of Washington in the Foster School of Business. Here's Jeff.
If you rewind before the layoffs, all the tech companies were really putting an emphasis on growth. And so capital was really cheap, you know, so you could get loans, you could get money, access to capital was really affordable. And then you see as interest rates went up and you start to see that that growth in headcount didn't translate to growth in profitability and access to capital became quite a bit tighter. You saw many companies start to hit the panic button. And so we saw these thousands and thousands of people get laid off all at once. And that was quite a...
And the thing is, when these companies go through these layoffs, guess what? Their stock tends to go up.
And when one company does that and their stock goes up, well, everyone else seems to follow suit. Other companies see a company make those cuts and say, hey, their company's still functioning. Their stock is going up. Their cost just went down. Do we need as many people?
Yeah, and it's exacerbated by the fact that at this point right now, funding is hard to come by from investors. It's more expensive to borrow than it was, say, 2 years ago. So companies feel the need to extend their runway.
Of course, and the irony is that the minute any of those big companies start going into a tech hiring spree, they'll all probably follow suit again, won't they?
Yeah, of course they will. But regardless, this prediction that we made that we'll see a recession sink in and tech layoffs will continue, I guess it's sort of half wrong, half right. I mean, the recession part didn't happen, but I don't know. If you're working in tech, the sentiment's still not awesome, right? Those layoffs keep happening again and again.
Yeah, maybe we grade this one kind of incomplete.
I think that's fair enough. All right, so incomplete on the first prediction. We'll look at this next prediction. And what was that second prediction again?
Okay, well, we contended that AI will not be a passing fad, and it will continue to be the talk of the town. We also said that AI would actually create new jobs, and we would rely on it more and more in our own work.
That's right. And look, it's not like we went too far out on a limb with this one, but it feels like we nailed this one, right? Here's a Yahoo Finance segment with a blow-by-blow account on how AI took the world by storm in 2023.
To say that 2023 was the year of AI would be the understatement of, well, the year. From NVIDIA and Google to Microsoft and OpenAI, Silicon Valley couldn't get enough. In just Q2, the term AI was mentioned nearly four times per earnings call. That's a lot of AI and a lot of investment. Heck, even Wendy's got in on the action, adding a generative AI assistant to its drive-thru. Here are some of the biggest highlights from the biggest theme of 2023, the generative AI explosion. It might have been the most important story of 2023, but it started in November 2022 with the release of ChatGPT by OpenAI. The chatbot quickly became the fastest growing app in history to that point, reaching 100 million monthly users in just 2 months.
OpenAI is the most advanced and the most widely used AI platform in the world now.
On the heels of the bot's success, Microsoft announced it was investing $10 billion in OpenAI. In February, Google debuted its rival chatbot, Bard, but the unveil was light on details. Days later, Microsoft took the wraps off of its OpenAI-powered Bing bot. But Google kept pouring on the news in May, debuting its search generative experience. Microsoft then fired back, revealing it was bringing its AI-powered Windows Copilot to Windows 11. Oh, and in May, NVIDIA's market capitalization briefly topped $1 trillion for the first time, cementing its status as the AI chip leader. In September, Amazon, keen on getting deeper into the action, announced it was investing $4 billion in OpenAI competitor Anthropic. Meta, meanwhile, revealed an AI assistant for its social platforms, as well as AI personalities for celebrities like Tom Brady and Kendall Jenner.
Seriously? How could you not know that?
In November, all hell broke loose at OpenAI when the board fired Sam Altman, seemingly out of nowhere. It caused investor uproar. CEOs came and went. Microsoft offered him a job, hundreds of OpenAI employees threatened to resign, and finally, OpenAI brought him back, but this time with new board members, including a non-voting observer role for Microsoft. A big year for big tech, and no doubt one that will change how we all invest, work, and play forever. And it feels like it's all just getting started.
And we're just getting started. There's no doubt that AI is here to stay, but that other piece of the prediction, AI and our work, how'd we stack up there?
Well, we said that AI would have the potential to create new jobs. And I do think that's happened. It is hard to say the impact of AI in killing jobs off versus creating new ones too, though, right? So anecdotally, definitely fair to say that some layoffs that we've seen have been in part due to AI. So maybe a wash. Honestly, it's hard to say. I will say that AI has absolutely embedded itself into the way that people work, though.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I've used it in many ways myself. We've generated kind of course curriculum from it. We've written most of our website copy with it, at least as a first draft. So it's become incredibly useful internally, especially for small teams. Although I think the layoffs, AI may be more of a scapegoat here than the actual reason for the layoffs, as we were talking about. But I think that's kind of TBD in the future.
Yeah, it might be hard to say right now, but I'm with you on the way that we use AI too. I mean, for Product Collective, we're using AI in all sorts of ways, coming up with content ideas to suggesting even which introductions we should make for our attendees at industry, the product conference. Last year, you know, that used to be something that I used to have to spend a lot of time on myself. This past year, we used AI to basically let us know which attendees we should introduce to each other. So, yeah, it's become pretty critical to what we do. It's to the point that it'd be hard for me to imagine working without it. And we're using it in even just the basic of ways. There's probably a lot more that we could do.
Okay. Well, look, one incomplete. One, I'd say nailed it for our first two predictions. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll see how we fared with the rest of our 2023 predictions. All right, before the break, we took a look back at two of the predictions we made for 2023 to see how we fared. We did okay, I'd say. One we got right, one we got partially right.
Yeah, that's fair. And hey, not that we went totally out on a limb with either of those predictions, really. But yeah, that's where things ended up. But we did make two more predictions for what would happen in 2023.
Okay, so what happened with those?
All right, well, let's see. The third prediction we made, this one was that more and more people would be leaving the Twitter platform and that the company that would benefit most wouldn't be one of those new platforms like Mastodon that's popped up. It would be Facebook.
Okay. So where do we stand with Twitter now?
Well, Twitter doesn't even exist, so I guess we nailed that one. No, all right. All kidding aside, Twitter, of course, rebranded as X. It is still around, right? It definitely hasn't gone away completely. It's a much, much different company than it was before Elon Musk took over, though.
Are you saying for better or for worse?
Well, that's debatable, right? But Musk will tell you X is way better today than it was over a year ago. Financially, I don't know that that's the case. I mean, they did lay off 80% of their staff, so definitely a lot leaner. But according to web analytics provider SimilarWeb, as of September 2023, monthly active users for X/Twitter, it dropped 15% worldwide, 18% just in the US year over year. So I do think it's fair to say that more and more people are leaving the platform.
Yeah, no growth tech company wants to see double-digit decline in their user base, and I kind of understand why. It just feels junkier than before.
Yeah, there's a lot of turmoil this year, so maybe it's to be expected. And, you know, they did cut 80% of their staff, so I don't know, maybe seeing a 15% decline in users, maybe that's not so bad considering they cut 80% of their staff. I don't know.
Okay, so the other prediction we made, who benefited most? How can we answer that?
Yeah, so it's probably really hard to be able to answer that. I will say Facebook has grown 5% year over year in terms of its daily active users. So it is growing. And 5% might not seem like a lot, but the reach it already has, like, it's kind of crazy that it can even grow, that there even are more people to go onto the Facebook platform. But so it saw growth, and it's true that its user growth was actually more than other platforms, like, say, Snapchat. Snapchat had, I think it was like 1% growth. But there are platforms like TikTok that are growing at a faster rate than Facebook. I think TikTok was at like 8% user growth, so almost double that of Facebook. The other new platforms like Mastodon, I mean, Mastodon is technically growing now, but it went through a big decline. Where it stands right now actually is lower than where it was at its peak.
Ah, okay. All right. So the real question of if millions of people left Twitter, where do they go? The answer to that would be
probably lots of different places, including Facebook, but also including TikTok and other platforms too.
Yeah. Okay. So that part of the prediction, I don't know, maybe it's incomplete as well.
Yeah. Just kind of hard to say.
Okay. So there was one final prediction, right?
Yes. And this one had to do with the world of crypto. The end of 2022, we saw crypto coming to a real crash. The price of Bitcoin was just under $17,000, which is a far cry from its high of over $67,000. NFTs, which at one point were the talk of the town, we even did a whole season on NFTs here on Rocketship, they started to fade very fast. And by the end of 2022, the sentiment was way down on them. So yeah, crypto winter had set in. And we said, though, that it would continue to just sort of stay flat. Sometimes maybe it'd go up a little bit, down a little bit, but no giant swings. All in all, 2023 would sort of be a meh year for crypto.
Yeah, and so this prediction,
it couldn't have been a bigger miss for us. I mean, very quickly after the new year started, Bitcoin, as an example, saw a 30% jump in value in just a month. And by the end of January, it was valued at $23,000, continued to climb really the entire quarter. Now, by the start of Q2, it was up about 60% from where it was at the end of 2022. And then it did sort of just stay flat at that point, you know, for the next several months until about October. But ever since October 2023, it's been on another big climb almost very consistently. I mean, today, as we record this episode, it's at the highest value it's been since December 2021. And many people believe it'll quickly surpass its all-time high. Here's Yahoo Finance crypto reporter David Hollerith with more on how crypto fared in 2023.
It's been kind of phenomenal how resilient the asset class has been. I mean, there's been no shortage of crackdowns by U.S. regulators this year. We've seen key leaders be forced into retirement, if not prison, for, you know, what took place over 2022. And that being said, you know, we've also seen this speculation, increasing optimism for Bitcoin spot ETFs to come sometime next year. And that's all up in the air. But obviously, I mean, there's issuers who are launching commercials already. You know, we've seen our first celebrity commercial actually this week. So, you know, the whole question of this year has been that, you know, Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies in general do seem to be back. But also, I think there's this continual regulatory struggle in the U.S. that is nowhere close to being solved right now. So, you know, we're positioned for kind of an industry and market that does not really look so different from how things started off in 2020. And I did want to point out just as evidence for, you know, what's in store, like investors are, along with the ETFs, are hopeful about a specific Bitcoin situation. The supply is going to be cut in half. The supply, new issuance will be cut in half around April of next year, because crypto and Bitcoin are risk on assets. Investors do seem to believe too that they could benefit from any potential Federal Reserve interest rate decreases over in the next year if those were to happen. And that being said, you know, companies are already beginning to come out of winter and get back into investment. A great example of this is actually happened today. It was Marathon Digital acquired two new Bitcoin mining sites. They've increased their Bitcoin mining capacity by about 50%. So, you know, these mining companies have to work pretty far in advance with their capital expenditures. And the fact that they're doing this is sort of another suggestion that there's a lot of expectation about what could happen next year.
Okay, so the crypto winter might be over. Things are moving in the right direction, and there's reason to believe that they will likely continue to move that way in 2024. Potential interest rates cuts, brand new Bitcoin ETFs are live, the halving is coming, the process in which we'll see a 50% reduction in the reward paid to Bitcoin miners. That takes place in April of 2024. And traditionally, we tend to see the value of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, at least the mainstay ones like Ethereum, they tend to increase after a halving event.
Yeah. So all in all, that was a big swing and miss for us. And, you know, look, I'm glad we got that one wildly wrong.
Yeah. At least in this case, our miss is a big boon to a lot of listeners who have invested in crypto over the years.
So there you have it. All four of our predictions, some we got right and some we missed, some also sort of incomplete.
Well, interesting to take a look back nonetheless. I still think, I don't know, I think we skipped this year's predictions, but if we feel the need, we'll reserve the right in the future to bring back the predictions episode. How about that?
I'm totally good with that, Michael.
Okay. Well, that wraps us up for today. We'll be back next week. For Mike Belcito, I'm Michael Sacca, and this is RocketChip.fm.